I was in prison, and you came to visit me. With these words, Christ challenges each of us to spend time serving those who, because of circumstance or bad choices, can't serve themselves. Welcome to Someone Cares, a faith ministry dedicated to helping us all answer that challenge. For many years, this outreach program has carried healing doses of hope and Christian love behind prison walls and touched the lives of those in desperate need of both. I'm your Someone Cares radio host, Charles Mills. It's a question I'm sure that many of us have asked. How do I reach my friend, my associate, my family member with God's love? In some cases, we have to add, how do I reach him or her with God's love while they're in prison? Our guests today say it's not only possible, it's essential, and God will help. Don and Yvonne McClure created a ministry focusing on that very challenge. Don, let me begin with you. In the many years that you and your wife have operated Someone Cares, how has the way you've answered that question changed? When you first started out, how did people get in touch? And now, how do they do it today?
Well, today they do it because we do have access to radio stations. We're on TV occasionally. We have a web page. But word of mouth is what gets everybody going. Mm. We deal with the unexpected and turn it into what the Lord promises us. When I first quit my job years ago and told Yvonne the cattle on the Thousand Hills, I haven't had to slaughter one yet. We've had 40 years in the black.
Yes.
And you got to have a little bit of nerve. When we lived in Paso Robles, California was expensive, and we're a nonprofit organization. We're a 501c3. Mm-hmm. We were being paid $1 a year to be full-time chaplains, mm-hmm. but that didn't go far, so we had to raise funds by preaching and teaching.
Yes.
I was out in the garden, and I'm thinking, oh, they're going to raise our taxes. They're going to raise this. Funding is up. The economy is bad. So Yvonne was in sorting clothes for our dress-out program. And I said, honey, we're going to have to sell this place and move. And she said, where are we going to move to? And I said, well, I don't know. And I turned around and knocked over a dartboard I had, and I picked up a dart. We had a map on the wall with a pin where every prison our ministry reached. Mm-hmm. And I threw it, and it landed in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Hmm.
And guess what? We moved to Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Okay.
On faith, and Someone Cares went with us.
I couldn't believe it.
You went with the Dartboard Realty Company, I understand. Yes.
That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
Faith is something that's exciting, and people want something for occasionally nothing.
Yes.
But when you read a man or woman, because there are women in prison too,
yes,
when
there
you
are.
Share that love and it works, it's thrilling. Right. If it doesn't work for them, by the way, if you're writing an inmate and things go sour, we don't drop the inmate. We give the person a different inmate, mm-hmm. and we will take the one that the end result happens all the time. We stayed in Kentucky for about a year.
No longer than that. Mm-hmm. We were there for 3 years.
Okay.
Time flies. And then we heard that in Michigan there were two prisons, a woman's prison and a man's prison, mm-hmm. that didn't have chaplains. So we called the warden of the man's prison, who spoke for the warden of the woman's prison, and said, hey, my wife and I would like to come up and be your full-time chaplains, and you don't have to pay us.
Hmm.
And guess what? We got the job.
I'd say you made them an offer he couldn't refuse.
We put a sign.
That's what the warden said, too.
We put a sign on the end of our driveway and sold the house in one day.
Oh my.
And 2 weeks later, we were living in Michigan.
Now, let me bring people up to date here. You talk about writing letters and whatnot. Just give us 60 seconds on that writing letter program that you have within SomeoneCares.org.
Writing the letters is the paper sunshine. It's bringing sunshine into a dark cell.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that they write to a web address today, and then that is sent on to them, so there's no really direct contact between the writer and the receiver, am I right?
The writer never gives out their address, their state. Everybody lives in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay, all right, okay. So it goes through Fort Wayne, Indiana. Okay, let's talk about this now. You bring up an interesting thing about the little boy. What was happening with the little boy?
We were leaving the prison one day, and this little boy was crying. His mother had put him on the hood so he could see his daddy. And his daddy was in prison. And he said, "Daddy, don't you love us? Why don't you come home with us?" And the mother was crying, too. And we were going to our car. And so I walked over to the little boy, and I said to the mother, "Do you mind if I talk to him?" She said, "No, please help me." So I did. I looked at the little boy, and I said, "Hi." I said, "You're a cute little boy." I said, "You shouldn't be crying." I said, "Your daddy made a mistake, and he's in prison." But I said, "As soon as they let him go," I said, "he would love to come home to you." And he said, "He'll come home to me?" And I said, "Well, not today, probably." But I said, "He'll come home, and he'll be with you again."
Her father was a gang member. I followed him into the prison, told him what my wife was doing outside,
yes, yes.
And about 7 months later, he accepted Christ.
Oh,
I even had the privilege of buying a little girl a bathing suit with my clerk, and his wife visited him every visiting day.
Uh-huh.
And Cedric had told me that they had a swimming pool where they lived, but his daughter couldn't go swimming because his wife couldn't afford a swimming suit. I was in Kmart one night after we got home from prison, so I got her a little swimming suit and took it down. And I got to know the wife and everything and became friends with the family, too. It's not just ministering to the inmate, but ministering to the families that are outside. She'd bake cookies for the church, and the church didn't take her cookies because her husband was in prison, and she was having a hard time struggling. And the little girl was so thankful for the little bathing suit. You know, it's just little things. You don't have to do big things. It's just meeting people and meeting their needs. That's what it's all about.
I'm so reminded of the life of Christ and how he was always doing the little things. He was doing the little miracles. He was doing the little gifts. He was saying the simple words. We tend to think sometimes, maybe it's the Americanist, you know, the big is better. A bathing suit, a shirt, a pair of pants, a pair of shoes, a letter written to someone in prison can be like giving them a car or a farm or a property. This is amazing stuff, guys.
Or better yet, the biggest thing is, and it really puts all that together, when you give yourself to somebody else, and you do care. That's why someone cares. The people listening to this show or these shows,
yes.
If they care, then they share. If you share what you care, somebody's going to be benefited. Now, it may not be the first inmate you write. In fact, I have a letter almost right in front of me. This grandma, she says, "You know, Don, I've been with you guys for 30 years. I have written 50 inmates. I am writing to 11 now. The other 39 got dropped to the wayside. I tried my best with them, but I failed. But I stuck with the 11. And it's so important for us as Christians to realize that God gave us, and when Jesus hits the main line, it's known in prison. The Federation of Christian Athletes Officers, which we helped start in California, riots happen, people get hurt. Prisons are bad, bad places, but it's the person that's sitting on a couch in a car, and if you're in a car, you might pull over so you can write down our address. I had a judge do that, by the way, a couple of years ago. We were on the radio. He stopped, pulled into a parking lot. He wrote down our address. He called me that night. He said, Don, I've been a judge. I've sentenced people to prison for years. I will never use the philosophy I used before. And he's still with us, and he's still writing, but he told me that he uses the philosophy that Christ used. Do the crime, do the time, but make it equal to everybody. And we all know, especially with what's going on in the government today, yes, that there is prejudice in the world as much as there ever has been. We need to break that color line, too.
You know, you mentioned men and women in prison. We talk about men a lot, but how about the women?
The women are worse. They have it much worse. They provide much less for the women in prison, including the hygiene that would go along with women. When I was chaplain at the women's prison, it was sad because I asked, you know, what am I allowed to bring to my office? And they said, well, you're allowed to bring something to drink. And I said, okay, I guess I could get some of that apple cider and heat that up and have that warm in the office to drink.
Yeah.
And so I told my clerk, I said, do you like spiced apple cider? And she said, oh, I love it. She says, it's so good, but she says, we don't ever get it here. That was something that she loved, you know, and that was meeting one of her needs as well as mine, just to stay warm. But they go without so much, and they're so lonely. Families do not visit them. The wardens seem to, they're much harsher on women, but women do not have all female officers. Women have to take showers, and there will be male officers in the showers watching them shower.
For heaven's sakes.
It is very degrading.
I think people, too, need to get into when they get into the Bible, they need to look at the people that Christ himself chose to be his disciples.
Yes.
They weren't exactly a bed of roses.
No, they were not.
One thing that I would like to tell the people is that we were at a prison, and the medical person came over and asked me to go visit a man that had AIDS. He says he's just dying of AIDS. And he says, would you mind coming over and seeing him? And I said, of course not. So I went over there, and I was all ready to go in. And he said, wait, you can't go in yet. And I said, why? And he says, well, you have to put a robe on, and you have to put gloves on, and you have to put a mask on. And I said, that's ridiculous. And he says, but it's the rules. So I said, okay. So I went in, and I put my hand down to hold his hand. And I said, do you mind if I hold your hand while we have prayer? And he said, you want to hold my hand? And I said, yes. Now, this man had AIDS. He started crying when I held his hand. And I said, don't cry. I'm just going to pray for you. And he said, no one's ever touched me before. I've been laying here knowing that I'm dying. But he says, no one's ever touched me before. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, let's have prayer. So I had prayer with him. And I went back one more time to see him before he died. And I was so blessed by that. I received the blessing. I hope he did. But I received the blessing.
Don and Yvonne McClure, thank you so much for sharing with us today. And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Don and Yvonne, reminding us all that someone cares. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to Someone Cares. If you'd like to become part of this vital prison outreach ministry, visit someonecares.org and discover ways you can safely and effectively touch the lives of incarcerated men and women with God's love. Again, that web address is someonecares.org. This program was produced by Lifetalk Radio.